This is the Gambling Gauchos.
Other, and no matter what happens, we just say what's next. That's all we do. Somebody turn on some damn music.
You're listening to the Gambling Gauchos. Talking Texas Tech, betting on the Big 12 and beyond. We've got everything you need. Money lines, memes, and matadors.
Well, you want to quit, Ethan? That'll be the day.
Now, here's Kyle Jacobson and Rob Bro. The Money Line Matadors. The Casino Cowboys. The Parlay Picadors.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig. With
the Gambling Gauchos. Oh, and one more thing. It's all West Texas. It always has been.
Welcome into the Gambling Gauchos. I'm Rob Bro. He's Kyle Jacobson. The mayor of West Texas, not just Lubbock anymore, the vice president of West Texas. Mayor, vice president, whatever it is.
We never announced that on the podcast.
I was going to let you.
Getting to know the Gauchos. We're going to be setting up a satellite Cardinal Sports Center studio in Fort Worth pretty soon. That's where my career is taking me. So I'll be moving to far east West Texas, where the West begins. And, you know, Rob, it's funny. I told some people that, and some logical next questions are like, oh, when's your last day? When are you moving? Where are you going to live? No. They go, is the Gauchos still going to be a thing? You still going to do the Gauchos?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely yes. We're not going anywhere. We're already doing a lot of these over Zoom or whatever anyway. So anyway, I know there's a lot of Fort Worth Red Raiders, excited to hopefully get to know some of y'all. And those of you in Lubbock who are celebrating this news, I'll be back all the time. Don't you worry. So those of you who are happy to see me go might not quite get what you're wishing for. But yeah.
We go, but we love to watch you leave. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
You go.
Some personal news.
Proud of you, Kyle. We are in the Cardinal Sports Center studio. Have you seen the new hats that they've rolled out this week? So they're doing the 12 deals of Christmas. They do deals leading up to Christmas. So follow them on social media. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. You'll see the 12 deals of Christmas. But they launched what they're calling the Vault hats. A lot of flat double tees, some sweet Mass Rider logos, similar to the one you have, some khaki hats. I know some guys on Tech Twitter love khaki Texas Tech hats. So there you go.
It's a beautiful collection. If you want it for yourself, or you got a gift, a hat wearer in your life, you know, everybody's clamoring to level the bevel. They've got some cool looking stuff. So now's your chance. Are you a big hat guy, Rob?
I am a hat guy. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know if you ever wore hats or not.
This fell off on my couch, this Gauchos hat. I'm going to have to steam it out a little bit, I think.
Looks like Tom Brady's new jaw, kind of. You know what I'm saying?
Skeleton jaw?
Yeah, his new, like, cheekbones.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention much to his cheekbones. I'm more of a mechanics guy.
Okay. I'm more of a game day threads kind of guy. If you know, you know.
You are. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm tempted to open with the Discord mailbag because a lot of what we want to talk about is going to be in there. But let's do this first. Let's get into the transfer portal first. And there are two conversations to be had right now. There's the football transfer portal, and there's the basketball transfer portal. And it's going to sound like we're saying two different things. But there is a much different vibe to a midseason transfer than to a off-season, out-of-season transfer. The first one I want to talk about is the football team. And I do want to shout out Philip Bleedy, the very first Gambling Gauchos athlete who is going to move on in his career. But not a surprise when Jalen Hutchings and Tony Bradford Jr. both announced that they would return. That squeezes the snaps on the defensive line quite a bit. So Philip Bleedy in the portal. And I guess I have to say the obligatory, just because you're in the portal doesn't mean you're leaving. But I would assume Philip Bleedy moving on.
Dog.
Yeah, and some people got to get with the times, Rob. Players are going to transfer out of your program every single year until the end of time. And there's still this like 1989 sense of, oh, well, everybody's going to come here in redshirt and then stay for 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's not how the world works. It doesn't mean that these guys are soft or quitters or disloyal. In Bleedy's case, it means he has two all-conference caliber guys ahead of him. He can't move to another spot. Like Xavier White can go back and forth between running back and inside receiver.
And he's been here a bunch of years.
Yeah, he's been here 3 years. He's been a contributor, and he's just kind of stuck right now because through no fault of his own, two absolute dudes are ahead of him, and he's not going to see the field unless one of them gets hurt. And so he's going to go to another Power 5 program, be a starter there, and we wish him luck. And so one of our Twitter followers way over the line was like, F him with a middle finger emoji. And I was like, no, this is not the guy that you're sending off like that. Now, there are guys that like one and done, not going to play a snap and cash out and then leave because I wasn't given an opportunity as a true freshman, you know, whatever. Bleedy has a family. He's been here for 3 years, been a contributor. He's not like quitting on the team or something like that.
No.
So anyway, yeah, shout out to him, Gambling Gauchos athlete, the pride of Portales. And we wish him luck at his next stop. Hopefully. Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. That's like the caveat to all this because guys just transfer to like Houston or Oklahoma State. And that does kind of suck.
I would love for him to go to like Arizona.
Yeah. Other guys that have hit the portal?
The other starter would be Reggie Pearson.
Yeah.
And Reggie Pearson was, again, for a lot of times, but he was seemingly benched in the middle of the year and then came back strong. Lots of guys coming in at his position.
Reggie Pearson's highlights are really good because he can light some dudes up. I have not broken down the X's and O's on this, but I also saw the secondary get torched versus Kansas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing safety, at least part of that responsibility is probably on you. I'm not pinning it all on Reggie Pearson. Don't mistake me there.
No.
But I think clearly midseason there was something to be desired there, and so they made the switch to Tyler Owens. He gets dinged up. I think the staff is still really high on Tyler Owens, and so I think he'll be your starting safety opposite Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. Now, I wanted to experiment with rolling Reggie Pearson down to Muddy Waters' position. He didn't quite have the same frame as Muddy Waters, so maybe that wouldn't have worked out. But, again, you can't really fault a guy for feeling like he's a Power 5 caliber starter, which he has been at two stops, and thinking, maybe I'm not going to be that next year, so I'm going to go finish my eligibility where I can be that.
Would have loved for both of those guys to return. The rest of the guys in the portal, and I'm not going to say all their names, except for maybe Tavares Elston, who I think there's some other stories there. None of them were going to start at Texas Tech. And if you are not going to start here ever, you don't need a scholarship. And that's a tough business. But you know what? College football is a tough business now more than ever. And it's more cutthroat. There's less spots with more guys, especially with the transfer portal. And if you're leaving, you know, within the window, you can go free for a time. And you can just go and be wherever you want to be for a free transfer. So especially if it's your first one, even if it's not, more power to you, especially these offensive linemen. I don't want to necessarily just say the word processed out, but
that happens a lot. And I'm not necessarily afraid to say it with that group of offensive linemen that are leaving.
Yeah, and people that aren't tuned into this, probably not anybody who would listen to a Texas Tech podcast, more like people who populate Facebook groups, which maybe I just hate Facebook, but they're like, why are all these guys leaving? What's with the mass exodus? And I'm like, none of these – I mean, I won't say none of them were unexpected. I was hoping guys like Bleedy and Pearson would stay. We thought Donovan would probably hit the portal if the other two stayed, and that looks like it's the case.
Right.
But when your third string offensive lineman who's in year three in the program and has never played even on special teams leaves, that's not an area of concern. And so just seeing a volume of guys leaving doesn't indicate anything is wrong. In fact, it could indicate that you're actually moving exactly where you need to be. You're freeing up spots to bring in the next wave of guys that this staff recruited, and you certainly hope and pretty much think or certain that you're going to be out recruiting some of those spots. So my worry level on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a 1.
I would, yeah, maybe a 1. And I would say Reggie Pearson is probably the biggest loss so far, with Philip Bleedy being close.
I'd probably put Bleedy because depth there can be so sensitive.
And certainly.
Sometimes when those big guys get hurt, they get hurt pretty bad.
But with Sincere Massey and Trevor McAlpine, they were here last year.
Yeah, but Bleedy's played 3 years of college ball.
Well, and he's a 6'3", 300-pound monster. And, yeah, you don't grow those on trees. I said earlier you could go get another Philip Bleedy. You probably can't. You probably can't just go find, hey, here's a Power 5 caliber 6'3", 300 guy that's been around for 3 years and has been in a strength program for 3 years.
No, but you can find a Miles Cole or a who was the kid who had the big stop against OU, the transfer?
Number 42.
Yeah. I know his number, and I'm blanking on his name.
Me too.
It's going to bother me. I'm going to look it up. You know who I'm talking about, though.
Number 42 from Louisiana school.
Yeah, I think he came in from like Louisiana Monroe or Louisiana Lafayette. But you can get a guy like that who can be a depth piece. Yeah. And
Evan Drew, those kind of guys that have been here. And also, I hate that we always have to bring it up, but I think we do for probably one or two more classes. If a guy that was recruited before Joey McGuire took over is transferring out now, I'm assuming he's been out recruited. Because you were recruiting at a bottom three level in the Big 12 for three seasons, and now you're recruiting at a top two level, top three level in the new Big 12.
Vidal Scott.
Scott.
So you can go get one of him to be a depth to Hutchings and Bradford.
And if it's true, right, that Joey and company are going to be looking for transfers that left Texas and want to come home to the state of Texas, there's a bunch of those out there. You just got one in Baskerville, the guy from San Diego State who played his first 2 years at San Diego State. Maybe redshirted his freshman year, but played. Either way, two or three more years of eligibility. Well, I guess it's probably 2020.
Well, he is, you know, I toyed with the idea of Pearson being Muddy Waters' replacement. This kid, I think, is going to be Muddy Waters' replacement. He's got the frame for it. He said that at San Diego State, he did an interview with Red Raider Sports where he kind of said, yeah, I played up by the line of scrimmage in the box, and I've also played deep. So I think he fits that role perfectly.
You've also seen some offensive linemen offered. I did see Reggie Pearson got offered by West Virginia. Speaking of West Virginia, Graham Harrell hired at Purdue today. Congratulations to him. We'll see how that translates to the Big Ten. Otherwise, wait, does Purdue have a head coach?
Yeah, they hired somebody. It's not a big name at all after Brohm left.
Today?
No, it was like very quiet. It's not a big name. I can't remember who it was.
So why is Drew Brees an interim assistant?
I don't know. I didn't even see that.
So, yeah, they hired Drew Brees as an interim assistant today.
Purdue names Illinois defensive coordinator Ryan Walters as new head coach.
When was that?
2 days ago.
I totally missed that.
Yeah. Like, if you saw a picture of me, you would not.
Ryan Walters.
Yeah.
Wait, good for them. There's a lot of retreads out there that I think shouldn't get extra jobs or more jobs or another job. And
yeah,
so kudos to them for trying to find somebody. Somebody new. Obviously still looking. How many more names do you think enter the transfer portal from Texas Tech?
So let's run through it real quick. Bleedy, Pearson, Dogovan, Ethan Card.
Yep.
Michael Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are others. I counted it the other day.
Derek Lewis.
Yeah, Derek Lewis.
Tavares Elston.
Seven. I feel like we're up to eight or nine.
There's another offensive lineman.
Yeah. I think 15-ish total will leave, and maybe that is impacted by guys like Trey Wolf and Sir Roderick Thompson, who had eligibility, aren't transferring, but they're not coming back next year either. You could still have that with like an Austin McNamara, maybe Tyler Shuck if he goes NFL. So we'll see how some of that shakes out. But yeah, you needed to clear room. This was expected. That's why I don't know why people are panicking when
right.
a player they've probably never heard of, if they're more of a casual fan, is leaving. Like, it's not as if Baron Morton and Taj Brooks and Jaron Bradley all hit the portal yesterday.
So there's some more seniors that allegedly could come back, but I don't think have been official. We did see Xavier White say that he was going to come back. Ethan Card has entered the transfer portal. I'm just going to read off some more names that could or could not come back. Dennis Wilburn, center this year. Cade Briggs, Miles Cole, Tariq Matthews, who I thought really came on this year for the first time. Patrick Curley, Rashad Williams, Cameron Watts, who's another corner. Tyler Owens, who you mentioned already. Cam White and Austin McNamara.
Imari Jones hit the portal.
Yes, from Coronado.
Yeah, defensive back.
But again, that was a really late add, even in the class that he joined.
Yeah.
And probably would have been a preferred walk-on if they didn't have a spot and had a spot.
Kosai Eldridge is dealing with an eligibility fight. They're trying to prove that he didn't play in more than four games during one of his JUCO seasons so they can count that as a redshirt year and he can come back. I don't know.
That would be a really big addition.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline on that playing out, but – yeah, another guy who's played a lot of snaps at a position of need.
He was another guy who really came on this year for the first time and I thought played really well.
I think this is a little bit off topic. I think you've got to think really highly of your linebackers coach.
Yes.
I mean, you had Krishan Merriweather. He was a proven commodity. But besides that, you had Kosai Eldridge, Jacob Rodriguez, Tyreek Matthews, all guys that either weren't here before or weren't contributors very much, all, you know, give you serviceable snaps in Big 12 play. And so – your talent development at that position especially, I think, was a strong point.
And I would argue that Krishan Merriweather, even beyond previous years, was way better this year.
Does Bookbinder coach inside linebackers and outside linebackers?
Yeah, him and IU both coach the linebackers. So there's I think there's some crossover there. I think Bookbinder might even be the outside linebackers.
Okay.
But either way, they're all.
Yeah. Both of them.
Yeah. They're both. I mean, and both of a bunch of names you named are going back and forth, anyways.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know what else we need to cover on football portal. You and I don't have any scoop on like who's going in next, but I think neither of us are worried about football portal.
So, let's mention the basketball portal. Fardaz Amak, did you have something else?
Well, so the guys that are not hitting the portal, of course, are going to stay. And when they do stay in Lubbock, we hope that they stay with our friends at StayTrig, which you can check out at staytrig.com. And you can actually get 10% off your first booking using the promo code Gauchos. What is StayTrig? Well, it's your opportunity to support a local business and utilize a local option for your short-term home rental needs. So if you're coming back to Lubbock for a basketball game, graduation, the holidays, you're here on business, why get a last-minute hotel? Why roll the dice on an Airbnb when you can stay with StayTrig? Every single StayTrig property is professionally upscale decorated and furnished to the same standard, so you know what you're going to get. And like I said, it's a local business instead of an Airbnb or a hotel or something like that. So StayTrig.com.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, staytrig.com. What? What?
Go ahead.
No, it's clearly very important for you to speak during this ad read, so what do you got?
I was just adding, man. Just trying to help.
Yeah, what was it? I didn't hear it.
I was just saying with some of the national companies, you don't always know what you're getting. Then you show up and it's all crazy. But with StayTrig, it's guaranteed.
Okay.
So staytrig.com, you get 10% off on your first booking.
Awesome.
With the promo code. Is that Gauchos is the promo code? A little upset. Oh, you've muted now. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know we couldn't tag team those. I sorry for stepping on your toes there. Did you see? We'll do that one later. But remind me on the other one, the next one, that you've been talking about something that they're offering now. Fardos, thoughts?
My thought is that they're, man, okay, where to begin? First off, we probably don't know everything about Fardos, but we know some stuff, you know, secondhand type accounts. Here's my advice to Texas Tech fans. You should be willing to fork over a few dollars a month to pay for information. And there are good message boards out there. I'm a subscriber at Red Raider Sports. You can pay for a Lubbock Avalanche Journal subscription. If you're getting your news from Facebook group rumors and Twitter rumors that are 8th, 9th, 10th hand, you don't know what you're talking about. And so I feel like there's fans on message boards that are pretty well informed. And then there's people on Twitter that are slightly less informed because they don't have the same information who cite the message board rumors or what they think is being said on a message board. And then there's like other Twitter fans that saw what the other Twitter fans thought they saw on a message board. And then like by then it's just horrible information. And so I would lean on the professionals that, you know, do this for a living, and you'll probably get better information from those sources than you will from your cousin's buddy's screenshot on Twitter. Having said that, I guess we'll start here. Fardos enters the portal while still injured and having not, of course, played a single minute for Texas Tech basketball.
He is expected to enter the portal. I've not seen confirmation that he's in the portal.
Didn't Jeff Goodman report that he's in the portal?
Jeff Goodman on the 14th of December said Fardos AMAC is expected to transfer.
Expected to transfer. That's because he's in the portal, right?
I've not seen someone specifically say that Fardos AMAC is in the portal.
Okay, I'm going to look this up because this is... You're either Mandela affecting me or I can't read.
Well, I have it right here. Breaking. Texas Tech's is expected to transfer. That's what it says.
Yeah, because he's in the portal.
Okay.
Right?
That was the assumption on the 14th, yes. But I thought that was going to be followed by he is now in the portal. And I have not seen that he is in the portal.
I'm thinking the distinction is when you're in the portal, you can go back to where you came from. And so sure. He's in the portal, expected to transfer.
I am probably being semantics guy, yes.
Okay, RC Maxfield, breaking. Texas Tech men's basketball, Fardos AMAC enters the transfer portal.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, now that we're past that, there was a rumor that was probably – like the fourth or fifth version of telephone tag rumor that he hit the portal because Dusty Womble skipped an NIL payment. And you might have even seen Fran Fraschilla tweet something, not about Texas Tech or Fardos specifically, but him saying like, hey, I'm hearing that some schools are missing NIL payments and da da da. Full stop, Dusty Womble did not miss an NIL payment to Fardos AMAC. Dusty Womble does not give out NIL money to anybody, so there's no payments for him to miss. So that is completely wrong. There's no, well, technically, if you phrase it this way in this gray area, no. Dusty Womble did not miss an NIL payment to Fardos AMAC, period.
Yes, false. And furthermore, Dusty Womble is not withholding anything from anybody.
No. There are contracts. If either side is not fulfilling their contract, I'm sure it would be litigated.
Yes.
And so that's just wrong. And if I'm wrong about that being wrong, then Fardos can sue Dusty Womble and get what he's owed, but that is not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Now, I don't know. Okay, where do we go next? So Fardos is in the portal. I guess I'll leave it at this unless you want to take it further. I do think that there was an issue with Fardos and NIL, but I don't think anybody was neglecting to pay him.
Correct. That is a correct statement.
Maybe we'll get more details on that. We don't want to throw fuel on the fire in terms of just like rumor mill stuff that we haven't confirmed, but
right.
What I just said, the way I phrased it, seems safe to say.
The way you just phrased it has been confirmed.
Okay.
But yes, there's a bunch more stuff. Now, just another full stop moment. There are personal stories that may or may not involve the basketball team that we're also not going to get into tonight. Even though on the Discord mailbag, there were lots of questions regarding those personal things. But again, until there's confirmation beyond just what we're hearing, I don't think I need or want to get into it. Right?
No, I don't want to touch that part of all this with a 10-foot pole tonight. Real quick though, on Fardos. What was my point on Fardos?
Oh, Far Daddy? What about
him? So I guess there was here's what I was gonna say. I'm gonna rein it in. People should listen.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, hey, listen to the podcast. They should listen to what I say on here. Because sometimes,
yes,
sometimes I get it right. And when we were doing our basketball preview episode, and I've been trying to dispel with this take for months. When we were doing our preview episode, I said, I'm paraphrasing here, expect absolutely zero from Fardos Amak. And if he contributes to this team, take it as a cherry on top, an unexpected surprise. And instead, all I saw every game while you're struggling and losing to Ohio State and Creighton was, just wait till Fardos comes back. Then Elite Eight, baby. Our best player is out injured, and when he comes back, look at – I never once believed that. You and I never once said that.
No.
I don't know why anybody was under that impression because he was passed up.
Yeah.
He was passed up by Daniel Bacho before the foot injury news broke. He was going to be a bench player. He was not some savior who was going to come in and go off for 20 and 10 every night and lead us to the Final Four. I don't know why people kept saying stuff like that, why they thought – a big man, a 6'11" dude with a broken foot was going to get out of the cast and then a week later go torch TCU or Texas. I was never under that impression. I said as much on this podcast and people should have listened to me.
And if he wasn't scheduled to come back until February, which was reported by Jeff Goodman, even though there were some conflicting reports on that too, February, do you know how many games Bryson Williams had to play before he looked like Bryson Williams last year in this scheme? Like 13.
Like all of the non-conference games.
So even if he came back in February and played 10 games off the bench, is it good that Fardos has entered the portal or has plans to enter the portal? No. Depth, veteran presence, whatever you want to call it, would be good to have to work in. But he's not a magic pill. He never was a magic pill. He's never just some like special ace that you're just holding on to and playing from the bottom of the deck when you get there.
Right. So I don't view it. I'm not concerned about the Fardos transfer from the standpoint of I was expecting him to contribute on the hardwood this year. It does add fuel to the fire of like, are there locker room issues? Are there chemistry issues? And then there's been some noise from like Tobias Bass on Twitter that we shouldn't rule out Fardos coming back. And again, I want to be careful with what I say, but I guess I'll say that it would make sense for Fardos to want to come back. I don't know if he would be welcomed back. And so I'm not sure how that will play out. I think there are kind of like differing opinions on that. And I guess we'll see who wins out potentially. But at this juncture, I would say that he's probably not coming back.
Let me try to say more without saying more. The way every NIL deal is not the same. And every NIL conglomerate does not run their NILs the same way. It's difficult for Fardos to transfer midseason and retain his NIL.
Yes. And again, there are contracts that go both ways, and both parties need to fulfill them. And so if that is at play and Fardos feels like he needs to come back to Lubbock to fulfill his part of the contract, then I'm sure he is incentivized to say, oh, sorry, I jumped the gun there. I'd like to come back to Texas Tech. I'm not sure if there's incentive on the other end to say, okay, yeah, come on back and let's finish this deal. So we'll see what happens there. The other just flat out wrong thing that I guess you wanted to correct was it was embedded in the same tweet about the Womble NIL stuff that we just dispelled with. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. So the only other thing that I've seen and the only thing in the personal life that I will correct is there was, and I'm just going to say it once, and I'm just going to respond to this one tweet. There was not a wedding involving a Texas Tech men's basketball staff member at the Maui Invitational.
Correct.
All right. You want to make some bowl picks for Friday and Saturday? Maybe through the 22nd? Or just run through, just speed round.
Yeah, these picks sponsored by our friends over at Rahino Barbecue.
Absolutely. And did you see the Texas Trinity that they're doing?
No.
I'm going to go to the Instagram. Rahino Barbecue, RahinoBarbecue.com, BBQ.com. You can order ahead. They're open Thursday through Sunday, Thursday through Saturday. Great stuff all the time. But let me – the Christmas Texas Trinity meal. You can order this for Christmas. It comes with a whole brisket, 2 racks of ribs, 2 pounds of homemade sausage, 2 half pans of sides for only a certain price. I'll let you go look up the price. You can go to Rahino Barbecue or their Instagram page to find it. And it feeds anywhere from 15 to 25 people, depending on the serving size. It can be ordered right now at RahinoBBQ.com, the Christmas Texas Trinity meal. Ribs, sausage, brisket. The Texas Trinity.
Did you appreciate the opportunity to get all the way through that ad read without me interrupting your train of thought?
So you want to make some picks?
Rob, I was visiting our friends down in San Angelo last summer, and I went to a barbecue joint there, and they had a sign on the wall that said, "Cheap barbecue isn't good. Good barbecue isn't cheap. Rahino Barbecue is worth every penny." Let's make some picks.
Absolutely. I'm going to start. These are going to be a little bit out of order because I already picked some of them. UTSA at Troy. This is a ranked matchup. Both teams are 11-2. UTSA currently -1.5, though they opened at +1.5. And I got them at +1.
Yeah, I was on a different podcast, Too Much Dip. I was honestly worried about Too Much Drip because I was wearing this hat from Cardinal Sports Center. And they gave me UTSA +1, so I'm gonna take that as well here. I like the Roadrunners in this one.
This is the weirdest bowl matchup, especially on the early slates. Cincinnati and Louisville. The coaching nightmare that this game is. Fickell leaves. Satterwhite from Louisville goes to Cincinnati.
Satterfield,
what'd I say? Satterwhite?
Yeah.
And then you have Brohm from Purdue come to Louisville. So all new coaches, weird deal. But this game is also close, and it is also flipped. Louisville was -1.5. They opened at +1.5.
Give me Bearcats +1.5.
All right, I'm on the other side. I'm on Louisville. Miami of Ohio, UAB. The Bahamas Bowl at 10 a.m. tomorrow. No action on this one?
What's
10.5.
Which side?
+10.5 to Miami of Ohio.
Give me the Blazers.
Okay, I'll show you. Florida, Oregon State, plus 10 Florida.
Yeah.
Plus 7.5.
Yeah, Billy Napier, I think, has a tendency to play up and play down to competition. They beat Utah, the Pac-12 champs, earlier in the season. 10 is a lot for a team that I imagine is way out-talented. Oregon State versus Florida. I know Florida will have some opt-outs, including their quarterback. But 10 is a lot for a Pac-12 team like Oregon State to give up to Florida. So I'm on the Gators.
I'm also on the Gators. And if it was 7, I would probably think otherwise. But 10 in a bowl game, and I'm sure Oregon State cares a lot more. But that's just a tough spot for Oregon State to be in. Washington State, Fresno State, plus 4 to Washington State. No offensive coordinator because he's at North Texas.
Yeah, I'll go Wazoo.
Wazoo. I'll go opposite. Rice, Southern Miss. Rice is 5-7, but they're smart. So they get to go to a bowl game, plus 6.5 to Rice.
Southern Miss.
Same. SMU, BYU. SMU minus 4.
Can I comment on that real quick?
On what?
When there's a the need for a 5-7 team to go to a bowl, they ought to do is cancel a 6-6 team that has a win over one or two FCS schools instead of working the opposite direction and letting a 5-7 team in. So like if you have 83 bowl eligible teams, but you need 84.
Right.
Instead of going down to 84 and getting a 5-7 team, cut the last place 6-6 team and say we're only playing 82 bowl teams this year.
Okay, yeah, cut the bowl.
And some bowl sponsors are going to be mad about that because you can't just do that. But ideally, that's how you should do it.
They should cut 10 bowls anyways. All these bowls we're picking right now should not exist.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Really?
Yep.
You're a big bowl guy.
Or, no, actually, I take that back. Instead of dropping a bowl game, instead of pitting a 6-6 versus 5-7, you get the two worst teams in FBS play the toilet bowl, like 2-1-11 squads, and that would garner legitimate interest.
Yes, like find 2-0-4 teams, or even the two worst Power Five teams, let them play. I'm in.
Yeah, like could you imagine Kansas before this year, like going 1-11 and then playing in a bowl game? It'd be funny.
Beautiful. When it's a reward for the kids.
Well, and make it like the – I don't want to speak ill of any city, but like the Anchorage Alaska Bowl, like the most miserable bowl climate, the worst bowl trip for the players. It's like a punishment.
Yeah, played at the Canton Field. That always is so bad.
Yeah. Instead of – you know, I was like whining that the Tech players missed out on a rewarding trip to Orlando. Make this like a punishment because, you know, there's the Bahamas Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl.
Play to multiple
cities. No. Send them to Anchorage, Alaska or like – Greenland or something.
Yeah. And
the toilet bowl.
All right. SMU BYU plus 4 to BYU. Go Mustangs.
I can't win this bet. I don't have a good feel for it.
Prime time, baby.
I'll go BYU.
The new stomping grounds of the Elf, UNT, Boise State, UNT plus 10.5.
Yeah, I think the hook is they're begging you to take the mean green, so I'll actually go with the Broncos, Boise State.
Ooh. Boise State 9-4, UNT 7-6, no coach.
Yeah, I don't like that spot for them.
Marshall, UConn, Marshall 8-4, minus 10, UConn 6-6. Jim Mora Jr.
What's the spread?
10.
Which side?
Marshall minus – did I not say that?
No, you didn't say any of this.
No, I think I did.
Getting to know the Gauchos, when I was in – I don't remember what grade – playing basketball, gambling Groucho tonight. I was provoked. I'm innocent. You got to pick your team name, like the coach got to pick, and it was NCAA teams. And so – of course, being in Austin, like everybody wanted to be the Longhorns. Mm. I actually got to be the Red Raiders one year. But my coach wanted to be the Thundering Herd because he thought that was like the coolest mascot name in collegiate, which it is pretty cool. Like, it's unique, like Razorbacks, or there's a million Wildcats and Tigers. And so I like the Thundering Herd. I think UConn is a good story. Really, them getting bowl eligible in year one under Jim Mora Jr. is a big deal, but I'll go with the Thundering Herd.
Me too. And I'm assuming Henry Columbia is going to play. All right, we will record again before the rest of these, so we'll stop there. All right, you want to go into the Discord mailbag?
Yeah, sponsored by our friends over at Diversified Lenders, diversifiedlenders.com, locally owned, Red Raider owned business. Turn your accounts receivable into cash that your business needs to operate. Shout out to Diversified Lenders.
You done?
Yeah, that's all they get.
All right. I am scrolling back. Now, Kyle, how does one get in the Discord mailbag?
Circling back to your last comment when you were trying to be catty to me about if I was done. It's not unreasonable for me to want to not be interrupted every time I'm talking, so I'm not gonna let you get away with that. To get into the Discord and ask questions on the Discord mailbag and participate in the insane rumor mill, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/gamblinggauchos. It's $5 a month. Your work productivity will plummet, but that's okay because you'll have a good time and you'll get access to exclusive episodes like we did with Cody Campbell, Dusty Womble. We used to promote the Fardaw's AMAC interview. Maybe now we just pivot and say Matt Mooney, Sonny Cumby. And a portion of all proceeds go to the Matador Club. We're going to really boost that this month with the bowl pick'ems because we also offered that as if you wanted access to the bowl pick'em, instead of paying $10 to enter and raise money for the Matador Club, you could have just joined on Patreon. And we'll have more opportunities in the Patreon soon. But that's where the Discord is. It's a lot of fun, so we hope you'll join us.
One more question. Are you sure you want me to choose the questions to read, or do you want to do it?
No, I trust you. Just don't leave off any of the good ones.
Okay. Also, Big Hen says, is Rob the Alpha Gaucho, and is Kyle him? Yes and yes.
Says so right there, Big Hen.
Says so right there. Well, you don't have a twin brother, so I'm going to skip that one.
Yikes.
That's just – it's a hypothetical, not a
In reference to absolutely nothing.
Thoughts on MILF Manor, the new TV show?
Have not ever heard of
that. It's a bunch of cougars and then young guys. So it's like one of the Love Island shows, but it's a bunch of old women and young guys.
Yeah, I know what the term cougar means. I'm just saying I haven't heard of or seen that show.
Okay, I've not either.
Is it like a BYU Houston?
Yes.
Future Big 12 rivalry?
Mm-hmm. I probably will not watch that show. Top five young hoops coaches that a strong blue blood program might consider, hypothetically.
Circling back, I think MILF Manor sounds a little bit lowbrow for a guy like me who watches art house indie films.
Right.
Your question, five young coaches, man.
Hang on this one.
Do you want the list that like I would want or?
Yeah, that's the question.
Talvin Hester.
Mm.
I'm not interested in Brian Berg. I'm not interested in Grant McCasland.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, no.
Out on him.
He's too Baylor bold for my liking. I don't know. I'd have to do some research on – I'm sure there's some mid-major programs that have made some noise lately. I like those guys because they've got a chip. I feel like their potential is just getting unlocked when they're at a program like that. And so then you give them the fan support we have, the facilities we have, the NIL we have. They can take it to a whole other level. So I would probably look at in the mid-major ranks.
No, Big Hen.
What did Big Hen say?
I'm not gonna put it on the screen.
Okay.
It's a name of a young coach that might move up to a blue blood. Can I just say a name without you laughing?
Maybe.
Shaka Smart. I'm serious. I think he would fit at a program like Texas Tech better than a program like Texas.
He's home.
I certainly would not want to take him away from Marquette, and I think he fits better at Marquette than he would back in the Big 12, but I'm just saying.
I mean, I think he would do okay here, but –
Lon Kruger's son is doing well. Maybe there's a son out there that.
I would also, you know, let's go get some guys a pay raise at the very least. Like Nate Oates at Alabama. It's a football school. I don't know how much he makes. Let's offer him $1 million more than he makes. And worst case, he gets a raise. And what do we care?
Right.
So the Arizona head coach.
Well, and what about Sean Miller? He was absolved. He was absolved.
The Arizona head coach, I'm blanking on his name. He was at Gonzaga for a long time with Mark Few. Mm-hmm. Arizona's a great program. I don't know if I'd say they're blue blood, but the Pac-12 is a sinking ship. Not going to be anybody for them to play after UCLA leaves. And so it's like, hey, do you want – again, just offer him $1 million more than he makes now. Worst case, he says no, and thank you for the pay raise at Arizona. So
Tommy Lloyd. Big Hen is a big Arizona fan. He really wants to get rid of Cliff.
Hey, be nice to Cliff, Big Hen. The NFL is a brutal business. He takes over the worst team in the league. They improve every year for 3 years, and then they have one down year while his quarterback is an issue.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's on the chopping block. Yeah, you want Rick Pitino? Speaking of totally absolved, Rick Pitino's never done anything wrong.
He's innocent. No, but Sean Miller, like yesterday, was absolved of his he ran a clean program, is what they said.
All right, if we hire Rick Pitino and we, let's say early on, you know, we play one of these tournaments in Vegas or wherever, and we lose to a program like Creighton or USC, mm-hmm. and he's like frustrated in the postgame press conference, give me the top three Red Raiders who are not walking through that door. If we hire Rick Pitino.
Darvin Ham. Jason Sasser.
Okay, Jared, one more.
Jared Culver.
Okay.
Say it like
not, Rick Pitino. Not walking through that door.
How many consecutive conference losses with no conference wins on the year would it take for Kirby to fire Coach Mark Adams? I'm going to – go ahead. You answer first.
That's a little bit difficult to answer because the premise of the question may not be as big of a factor in such a decision.
That's what I was going to say.
As the question intended, which is to say – maybe he goes 500 in Big 12 play and there's still a decision to be made. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case. But it may not take him losing, you know, going 0-6 out of the gates for something like that to happen.
Mark Adams won't be fired because of on-court performance. What needs to be done to stop the badness of extending coaches after 1 year?
And this, I don't know.
This is not just a Texas Tech problem. We see it nationally, but Texas Tech has done it.
I don't know why we did it with Mark Adams, to be honest. And that's not me hating on Mark Adams, but it's like, who was going to come get him after 1 year?
Right.
He's at his dream job. Like, just he already had a 4 or 5 year contract. Just let it ride for a second season. And then if you feel like you need to extend him, then do it. But I don't get that at all after one season. I never have. Unless you're at like a true lower level stepping stone program and you feel like there's a really high probability your coach could be poached. But at Texas Tech, you're not that anymore. So have some confidence that Mark Adams isn't going to bolt after 1 year and that you don't have to extend him and give him a raise after 1 year.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
And he's 65.
Yeah.
Like, grade Kirby as an athletic director.
Like 1 to 10, A to F.
Let's do A to F.
Grade Kirby as an athletic director. On what criteria? Do you want me to make up my own criteria?
I think you could make up your own. What was it that Spike said? You lose 10% of your fans every year, and he'd been there for 10 years?
Yeah.
Kirby's been here for about 10 years. But he still seemingly has some fans.
Okay, I'll go point counterpoint. Before Kirby's tenure, believe you had never been to Omaha. Kirby hired and kept a baseball coach at his Gunnu to Omaha 4 times? 14, 16, 18, and 19?
Yes.
Okay, so that's great. There have been 2 stories running the USA Today about, I guess you'd call them scandals in women's athletic programs that resulted in coaches getting fired and I think settling out of court with a former coach that was suing the athletic department. That's not a good look. You just endured the worst stretch of football since at least the 1980s, if not ever. That's not good, especially since that's the bell cow. You also won a track national championship, and you've had sustained success in both men's and women's track during Kirby's tenure. You've been to 3 of the last 5 Sweet 16s or further. That's good. Fundraising, to me, stalled out until Joey got there. I give Joey some credit for reinvigorating some donors. So all that to say, I think there are fair criticisms, but it's not all bad. B, is that okay?
Yeah, I was going to say B minus.
And I guess I should preface this by saying it's not all on Kirby that
– No.
Let's just say one of the women's basketball coaches he hired was maybe not so great to the players. Now, ultimately, the buck stops at leadership. It's Kirby's job to have oversight. I'm not here to, like, relitigate that whole thing. But, like, Kirby hired Matt Wells without a committee, without input from anybody, and that's his prerogative. He's the athletic director. I think it's funny when people say that Kirby went rogue and hired Matt Wells, as if it's not his job to hire coaches. But it was a bad hire. It
didn't have to get approved by the regions and everything else.
But it was a bad hire.
Yeah.
And you can think Kirby's a great guy. You can think that the athletic department overall is in good shape while also acknowledging that was a bad hire.
And he's just been here so long. Like, that has to bump him up at least a half. So I'll say B2. Like, what other – is he the longest tenured AD in the Power 5? He's got to be top 10.
I think Swarbrick has been at Notre Dame a long time.
Yeah.
Joe Castiglione has been at OU a long time.
Yeah.
I think Alabama's AD has been there a long time. Right?
I want to say maybe they got a recent change.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't keep up with ADs very closely.
Either way, but yeah. Either way, I mean, he's top 10 tenured in the Power 5.
Yeah, and
I think that says something too.
Yeah.
If Beard is a snake, what animal would Adams be?
What animal would Adams be? Mm-hmm. Man, I wish I had screened some of these in advance. I could have come up with something clever. If Beard's a snake, what would Adams be? Like a mongoose?
Something a little unassuming, yeah. Badger, maybe?
Those are not unassuming.
Well, if you just came up upon it and you didn't know what it was, like, oh, there's a little furry little otter. I mean, they kill cobras.
I mean, they're pretty ferocious.
Or I've never come across a mongoose in the wild.
That's good. Or a badger.
Would you rather fight a mongoose or a bear?
How big is the bear?
Full grown.
I think at this point we've settled the bear debate. Grizzly... Yeah, I think grizzly, I'm losing. Black bear, RIP to the black bear. So if you give me black bear versus mongoose, I'll roll the dice with the bear. I'm honestly not super familiar with a mongoose, and so the uncertainty there gives me pause.
Have you ever seen Roadhouse?
No.
There's a scene where he rips out the throat of an opponent. I think you'd do that with a black bear. Start bench cut, Joey, Mark, Tadlock.
Start. Oh, man. It's so disrespectful to not start Tadlock based on what he's achieved.
Yes, it is.
Like I said, football's the bell cow. Gosh. I'm cutting Mark Adams. The other two, I don't know if there's a wrong answer. I'll say start Tadlock, but it's one of those deals where, like, it's like Brett Favre in 2009. I'm starting him, I'm benching Aaron Rodgers, but I think there's like a ton of potential there, and he could move up into the starting role. So I'll answer it that way for now.
Mods get Kyle access to the disc. He has it. He has access to everything.
Mods have lost all control.
He's also a mod. Like he says that, but he's
not. I can't. I don't have all mod superpowers. I can't put people in timeout.
Oh, you can't.
I can't put people in timeout. I can kick them or ban them, but I can't put them in timeout.
I'll give you all the access.
Appreciate it.
Do you know who Johnny Sins is?
Is he in the Discord?
Okay, I'll skip that question. Good answer, by the way. How concerned should we be on a scale of 1 to 10 on the basketball program?
How concerned should we be? People want me to tell them how to feel.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you another way. On the floor, tournament team, yes or no?
No.
This okay.
Am I crazy? Because people are they're adding the Gauchos during the game, and they're trying to speak to how bad we look by saying things like, "We look like a bubble team out there."
Yeah.
And I'm like, a team that is on the bubble would kick your ass right now. You should be aspiring to get back onto the bubble, because if the season ended today or a month from now, the way things are trending, there's no way in hell you're a tournament team. I don't know why people haven't adjusted their expectations yet. No, you're not going to the tournament. Okay?
Now, if I said can you or will you, is that a different answer? Can you still get to the tournament?
I mean, can you do a triple backflip? Like, yeah, it's possible because you haven't played any conference games yet. But no, it's not going to happen.
Eric Morris hire, thoughts on how he'll do? We briefly mentioned that earlier.
He did good at Incarnate Word, and so I think North Texas is a good step up from that. You know, similar recruiting grounds. You're in the state of Texas. You're just going up from FCS to Group of Five, and of course he had to stop as a Power Five offensive coordinator at Wazoo, so I think he'll do really well at North Texas.
Agree, and I would grade that coaching hire highly. You know, they do the letter grades or whatever. I would grade that an A. Question for Kyle. If Big Hen watches the artsy movie you discussed on the previous episode, would you watch Christmas Vacation with Big Hen and break down each scene and go into detail why it isn't funny?
Yeah. No. So I was actually thinking earlier today, I need to, you know, I've been pretty strong-taked about Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it would, it'd be a respectable thing to do to give it another shot. You know, it's been 3 years since I last watched it. I'll go in with an open mind and we'll report back. So yeah, I'll watch Christmas Vacation.
I want to preface that I'm not saying this. Okay. This is from the Discord. Why would Kyle do that when he can sit up on his ivory tower and tell us we're not highbrow enough to appreciate his cinematic tastes? Again, that's from the Discord.
Because they have me pegged wrong, and I just said I would do it before you even read that. So
right.
Clearly they don't know me very well.
I'm going to change this question.
But I am kind of condescending about movie takes, so that it's fair.
You get 100%. That's how percentage works. Starter next year, Morton Shuck.
Like to open the season?
Sure. Game one.
I feel like the better question is who ends the season as a starter, but to start the season, I'll say 55-45 in favor of Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, I would probably say 70-30 just because he's won the job so many times, and if they're wanting him back, it's because they want him to start. I would prefer your percentages. Rank your top three least favorite Tech sporting scandals.
Least favorite sporting scandals.
Can I guess one of them? Your number one?
Sure.
The Leach drama? You hate that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't pay that close of attention when those USA Today stories came out. I don't fully even know what like the allegations were, or what the investigations uncovered. Man. How far back am I allowed to go?
As far back as you want.
You're
getting roasted in the comments.
Yeah, I want to know how I changed. I wonder what I was like before. You lost some scholarships from cheating in the Southwest Conference, but everybody did.
Yeah. Everybody got free shoes.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite scandals. I mean, you went 30-1 that year or something.
I was trying to think of something like really far back. I don't know. I don't think there's like a list of scandals to choose from.
This one's good. Hold on. Pull out a border conference scandal.
Okay. You did get, you weren't kicked out of the border conference, but you were ineligible to win it 1 year when you would have won it based on your conference record. And then you got reinstated. So yeah, that one stings because you missed a chance to hang a banner. See, I was thinking BCG, Billy Clyde Gillespie. Did he actually commit a scandal or was he just not good here? Like, was there a scandal?
Right. Yeah, I don't think there was a scandal because he like left in the middle of the year and Chris Walker had to be the coach the whole year and he was like off getting rehab. And
that's he left or he got fired?
Well, yes. And then he went to rehab and then he got a new liver.
You know, it's funny. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. It wasn't about BCG. It was way off topic.
If you could get each Texas Tech head coach something for Christmas, what would it be? If you could get something from each head coach for Christmas, what would it be?
I'm confused. Is the issue that I think I'm in an ivory tower above everybody, or does everybody try to punch up at me to knock me down a peg because I'm already on their level? Can we clarify that real quick?
This is from the chat. I didn't say anything.
You didn't put something from Gambling Gauchos on there?
Oh, you didn't pay attention to the USA Today stuff is all I was saying. You hate women's sports. You didn't pay.
Yeah,
you didn't.
No, so I take all the shots as respect and just proof that I'm like the premier top alpha dog. And as soon as the attack stopped, then I'll think, okay, maybe I lost my edge there.
Yeah.
But while the attack, I mean, why would they attack you if they're not trying to knock you off the top spot?
I was at a Christmas party tonight, mm-hmm. and one of the gentlemen there was a listener, and he texts a friend who's a big fan of ours. And he said two things, the friend said. He said, is it true that Kyle is a Texas Longhorns fan and tell Rob he's a bad MF-er? So I feel like you do get some unjust
No, that's like Christmas vacation. It's like not a funny bit and people will just insist on it.
I did say why.
My reaction, like, okay, that's funny. Yeah, because I'm from Austin, so that's hilarious. What three gifts would I give the coaches? Is that what you asked me? What did you ask me?
So, let's go. Just pick a coach. You don't have to do all the coaches. What would you get Texas Tech head coach for Christmas? What would you get from them? So if you want to do Joey or Mark or Tadlock, whatever you want to do. Like earlier today, I said I would get Joey McGuire an elite kick returner.
I'm not a very thoughtful person. It's hard for me to like think of good gift ideas for people that I actually know and love. So it's hard for me to think of a Christmas gift for Tim Tadlock. Like a baseball mitt? I mean, I don't know.
Is this a joke? You really aren't a good gift giver?
No.
Okay.
I mean, how do you expect a guy who struggles to get his wife something thoughtful to like give a good gift to Tim Tadlock or something?
Yeah. I would get Tim Tadlock a bonsai tree that's inscribed "Water the Tree" so he can remember to keep his head, or maybe a square of concrete that just has a some 2 feet on it, so and then inscribed "Be where your feet are."
Yeah.
If you could get a gift from a Tech football coach or baseball coach, what would you get?
What do you get for the man who has it all? I don't need anything.
Let's see. How do we win the bowl game? Well, we'll get to that later. Well, I mean, we're going to do a whole bowl preview. Do you want to do it right now?
No.
I feel like you're upset. Earth 2 Electric Boogaloo.
It's not. How do you feel?
How do you feel that you're older than the Incarnate Word head coach? Well, I don't know, but I'm older than Zach Kittley, so it's not like that's a new thing. There are a lot of Discord mailbag questions. How long do you want to do this?
Hey,
they're paying for it. We'll do it.
Yeah.
With 2 years left on the Under Armour contract, what are your takes on making the jump and becoming a Nike school?
I hope you make that jump, man.
Not only yes, hell yes.
I would rather be with any of the other three, Nike, Adidas, Jumpman, over Under Armour.
If you could bring back one of the players that transferred from last year's basketball team, who would it be?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
If you could bring back one of the basketball players that transferred from last year's team, who would it be?
TJ Shannon.
Same. How long before Kyle becomes a TCU fan?
He'll be waiting a long time.
I feel like it's even less of a chance that when you go to Fort Worth, you would become a TCU fan. There's no TCU fans in Fort Worth.
I mean, there's no chance to begin with, so.
If Shuck has a good bowl game, does he consider the NFL?
I hope not. I don't think so. It's not. When has the NFL ever drafted a quarterback based off of a good bowl game?
I think depending on his draft grade, if they told him, hey, you could bump up a full round if you have a big game, maybe, but I don't think that that was his draft grade.
No, I don't see.
Are you worried about a live show with drinking picadors in the background at Bell Station?
No, I mean, that's the move. So I'm not worried about it at all. For those who don't know, we are going to Bell Station in Midtown Houston before the Texas Bowl. It's steak night. So I think we're going to get some ribeyes. We'll do a live show. They'll have some drink specials for the Red Raider fans in the house. We've got Baylor fans coming. So I think just some Big 12 allegiances in Houston are going to be there. So no, I'm not worried about that. That's going to be a good time.
If I'm adding a one on the fly, if you couldn't eat a ribeye, what would you order?
Sirloin.
Yeah. I like the strip.
Yeah. Good strip. It's good.
Good thoughts. Good strip. Good. Why use many words when few words work?
That's right.
What seemingly unassuming tweet would you put out to let the picadors know you've been kidnapped and need help? I've got several for you.
Like, I'd tweet something like, watching Christmas Vacation with the family, LOL.
Yeah. This bear just kicked my ass. Yeah. That's what I would tweet out. I don't know what I would tweet.
I was wrong.
Is that what I would tweet?
Yeah.
I think both of us could do that one.
No.
No, I've you're never not. Seen,
there's a reason why the term robfuscating exists.
Oh, come on. I admit all the time that I was wrong and can put back. Chevy Chase is so funny, you guys. That's one.
No, you'll just straight up lie about what you said to cover. You won't. You'll go so far to say, no,
that's not Kyle Con this. Don't Kyle Con this.
I'm not.
New things that happen.
That's not even a thing. That's just robbledygook.
I'm going to put this City Boy chant on the board.
Somebody ban Big Hen. I'm tired of it.
There was another one he said that was so nice fan. That I didn't put up there. Hold on.
Big Hen, he's a loyal, like, he'll take his marching orders as a mod in Discord, so I wonder if he'll ban himself.
There you go. I didn't put that one up there. I really was going to put it up. I forgot. It says he's jealous because he's not smart enough to get indie films. Love you. We love you too, Big Hen. Kyle Splaining. Yeah, there's one.
It's not a thing.
Kyle Lighting. That's a good one. Begin again?
No, they're not.
Oh, man. Mods, get control in here. All right, final thoughts?
Is that it?
That was the extensive 30-minute Discord mailbag.
Sweet. Hey, go join Red Raider Sports or another message board if you want insider info. Now, to be fair, there's also pages and pages of random rumors and people who don't know on there. But
yeah.
Anyway, the Facebook and Twitter stuff is crazy. Like just the game of telephone that goes on. So, final thoughts. Not worried at all about football, transfer portal, basketball. It seems there are some potential issues. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm focused on Ole Miss, focused on pre-gaming at Bell Station, and focused on having a good time with the Parlay Picadors. Patreon.com/gamblinggauchos.
Sweet. I don't have any final thoughts, except for I am a man enough to explain when I'm wrong. I just am not wrong very often.
That's not true.
Love y'all. Do you not love us tonight, Kyle?
No, I do. I thought you had signed us off. You kind of stole my tagline there. So
no, I just was waiting for you to say it too.
All right. Love y'all.
Bye.